You visited courses for programming, right?
Yes.
Were you also one of the few females in that class, or were there more?
There were more. I think when I was taking computer programming courses, I want to think maybe 25% female.
Not so a lot.
Wait, but it actually it's big compared to generations before.
I think I remember that Dad even told me that you traveled. I'm not sure where it was, but you traveled to teach women how to code. He was quite proud of that.
Oh, thanks. I have traveled to probably, I don't know, 12 or 15 countries. And while in those countries, I would not do teach coding, but I would bring a hard drive. You know, when I was talking before about the servers. So when I travel, I just bring the motherboards. So I literally would have a suitcase full of motherboards, and I would put the motherboards out on the tables and teach young kids about all the components on the motherboards to remove their fear and increase their confidence around technology. And then I also have spent a lot of time doing presentations and workshops with university students, like all over Africa and Middle East and Central Asia, just to really encourage them to pursue technology careers and entrepreneurship careers. Because sometimes kids don't get enough exposure, so they think all engineering jobs or all STEM jobs are just coding. Being able to explain to them there's, you know, like 100 different jobs inside of the word STEM, the acronym STEM, there's easily 100 different jobs. So just introducing them to some of those other ways that they could be in a STEM career without just having to be a coder.
And I would guess that in the different countries that you went to, the stereotypes about coding and all of that would have
Oh,
been
yeah. Yeah,
quite hard to
definitely.
crash.
Right, exactly. Right. In those cases, there's usually just one or two girls per class. So, yeah. And it depends on the schools, like how advanced are the schools? How much are they encouraging girls to take those courses? So, I have met with a lot of leaders of the schools as well to really introduce ways and ideas for them to get more girls into the courses.
And may I ask, what were some of the ideas that you came up with?
So, one is that introducing technology in ways that's not just male oriented. So think about if you're wanting, even let's talk about something basic like build a house. Right? Like if you're going to teach both boys and girls how to build a house. You look at it not just from the construction part, but from the aesthetics part. Like find ways that make it pleasing that young girls want to be involved in that. Right. And just also look at every teaching tool that you're bringing into the classroom and make sure that it's not male oriented. Because a lot of the games or the lessons, listen to the language that's used in the lesson, look at the examples, because oftentimes the examples are very male oriented and girls just aren't attracted to how to do something that's very male oriented. I'm trying to think of a good example, right? Like the games. I mean, just look at the games. They're all so male oriented. And so there's ways that you can introduce change the language and change some of the tools and the examples and the games that you bring in the classrooms to make them more gender neutral so that more people are interested in them. And then there's also ways to ensure that children are given the opportunity to do critical thinking and problem solving and team building at a young age. So even if you're in a history class, instead of just reading about the history, provide hands-on activities for the kids to get in small teams and build a replica of something that was being taught in that history class. So maybe there was a major event that happened, and you want to build some replica from that major event. most schools are just still teaching lecture memory test, lecture memory test, lecture memory test. But if you stop in the middle of those and say, now build something, get in a team and build something, you're teaching them critical thinking, problem solving, team building equally for boys and girls. It will really increase the confidence of both the boys and and especially the girls that they can do these things. They can build things. They can do problem solving. They can do critical thinking. They don't have to be silent and look to the male in the room and say, you do this. I don't know how to do this. If you give them equal opportunities, you'll see it. Something else that I noticed as well is when I bring in activities for the students, I won't make a team that's both male and female, because what will happen, those females will automatically defer to the boy and let the boy have the lead starting at a very young age. It's really shocking to watch. Like, and if you separate them and put all boys at this table and all girls at this table, those girls will all interact with each other. They will all try to solve the problem. They will all contribute. But if you put boys and girls at the same table, the girls will be quiet and step back and let the boys do everything and lead. It's just astounding. And I'm talking like 7, 8 years old already. Yeah.
But they probably learned that from their parents, right?
Exactly. And other role modeling. So it's really important to notice those things when you're delivering new education, right? And to pay attention to that and admit that this happens and do it, set up the rooms a little bit differently so that the girls learn how to find their voice and speak up and be a contributor.
Yeah, I think that's very important nowadays. Or not only nowadays, but it is very important. Because the funny thing is, recently in school, we had the voting rights for women. And Switzerland was one of the last countries that gave women voting
rights. Wow.
That was like 60 years ago, I think.
Wow. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? It's just it's always astonishing to me how recent those laws changed.
It's quite scary, actually.
Yeah.
Do I want to live here?
Right. And it's the same everywhere, right? If you look at all different countries, like it's not very long ago that women got their rights in most countries. And it's precarious. Like in the US right now, there's a lot of laws where they're trying to really push back those rights and take them away. And so we don't get the opportunity to move forward when we have to spend all of our energy fighting for what we already won. It's very deliberate and it's very frustrating.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I have teachers that even say, what do women want? Why do they want more? They already have enough. And I'm like, you're taking away stuff from us that we already have. We want that. And we want
equality. We just want to equal. We want an equal playing field. We want an equal opportunities, equal pay, and equal playing field. And it just is frustrating how hard it is to get that and keep it.
Yeah. I mean, finding a job after school was quite frustrating as well, because I was I was interested in some male-dominated professions, for example, IT, and they were like, we can take you on in the apprenticeship just because you're a woman. We need a better quota in the office. And that was like, that did not sit right with me.
Right, exactly. In the US, they will do the same thing, but they won't tell you that's why.
Yeah.
They won't admit it. They can't say that's why they're doing it, but they will. And so it's just about, again, it goes back to that emotional intelligence of those who are doing the hiring, is the ability to look at all candidates and choose those that are best skilled for the job, regardless of the gender. And if you create that space, you will put more women into those positions because they're just as skilled or better skilled at the jobs, not because of who they are.
Exactly. Yeah. I even had that in a female dominated profession, like design. I didn't get a design job because they wanted a man.
Oh my gosh, how funny. Yes.
That was like, right? It goes both ways.
It does go both ways. And look at like men who want to be nurses, right? I think it's really important that they learn those skills and they're and given the safe space to be nurses without being harassed, right? It just, it goes both ways. I think it's really important that we create safe spaces for anybody to pursue any position that they want.
And I think when people talk about equality, they don't really understand that equality goes both ways.
Right, exactly.
That's so frustrating.
And we all get an opportunity. Like we have to listen to how we speak, how we interact, how we react on all of these topics and see, are we contributing to solution or are we holding back our male counterparts to pursue something they're passionate about?
I mean, in male dominated professions, you have people that are a little bit condescending towards women and the other way around. Have you ever really experienced anything that stood out to you, and how did you handle that situation that they would respect you more?
I have definitely experienced it many times in my career of being taunted or spoken down to or criticized at group level. There was multiple times where male leaders wanted to harass me or make an example of me, of you're a female, you don't belong in this role. And there have been times that I left the room, and this is more like in my 20s, late 20s, early 30s. And there were times where I would be so incredibly embarrassed or angry. I would just go in the bathroom and cry. And then I would, because I don't want them to see me cry. But what I did was, I would get angry and I would get, fueled up to prove them wrong. So every time any of those situations happened, it made me stronger in fighting them to prove them wrong. And so I would learn whatever it was that I they felt I was lacking, and I would over excel and over deliver and build it to where I would be the top of the class or the top of the team or the top of the whatever, because it, and it was all from anger. It was all from, I'll prove you wrong. And then once I would get those same people to acknowledge me and acknowledge me at group level that I was a top performer, then oftentimes I would say, so there, and then quit because it was just like, because I'd be so like, I don't want to work for you, but I'm going to work for you long enough to prove to you that you were wrong. And then I am just as capable and skilled of being here. But once I prove that to you, I'm leaving because you don't deserve me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so it just part of the, my personality of just really being a fighter and just tenacious about it. And just like so offended and frustrated with hitting those challenges. And then eventually I got to the point where I had enough skill that those situations didn't happen anymore. But in the beginning, when you're first beginning, there are chances that those things might happen. And I just encourage every female to use them as opportunities to grow and gain skills and prove them wrong versus leaving. We have a big problem with too many women leaving tech jobs. So they go in for 2 or 3 years, they're not treated well, and they leave. And what I say instead is to stay and fight and just prove them wrong.
And that's the most rewarding part, proving them wrong, right?
Right. It really is. And what's nice is that as you stay and grow and get stronger skills, you can get promoted. And when you're promoted, you start becoming a person in a decision-making role. So we need more women in leadership roles, decision-making roles. And that comes from staying and really pushing yourself to excel and to prove them wrong. And then you get to choose who gets hired next time. And you get to choose how people are treated in the meetings. And you get to choose what to do when you see disparity and you see inappropriate behavior. You get to call that out. So it's important that the women stay and keep pushing through it.